It is now time, Anthony, for our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. I do hope that our guests, both our guests, has arrived, Anthony Turner. Our topic this morning, 35 years. It was on September 11th, 1987, that Peter McIntosh was killed in Jamaica. What does his legacy look like, ladies and gentlemen, 35 years later? And with 420, the marijuana holiday fastly approaching, Peter McIntosh was the one who championed for the legalization of marijuana. So this 420 day, Anthony, it should clearly be a Peter Tosh day, not only in Jamaica, not only in America, but worldwide. Joining us this morning, we have direct lineage of Peter McIntosh, his daughter, Nyambi McIntosh, and from the foundation, record executive Brian Latour has joined us this morning. Anthony, go ahead and introduce our guests.
Well, both our guests. You said, Raskin, Peter Tosh, known for hits like Legalize It, Bush Doctor, Johnny B. Good, and Equal Rights. He was born Winston Hubert McIntosh on October 19, 1944 in my parish in Jamaica in Westmoreland. And Tosh, along with Bonnie Wailer and Bob Marley, were the original members of the famous Wailers band that rose to international acclaim. And as you said, Raskem, on Mic Check, we have the pleasure of speaking with Nyambi McIntosh, Peter's youngest child of 10 children, and she's the administrator of the Tosh Estate, and she founded the Peter Tosh Foundation to provide medical research, consultation, and advocacy for the legalization and responsible use of cannabis. We also have online Brian Latour, who is the executive manager of the Peter Tosh Legacy and Brand. And over the past three decades, Brian has worked with some of the industry's best and brightest, including rapper and actor LL Cool J and hip-hop superstar Nas. And he has provided consultation to many other well-known artists and production interests, including Marley Marl. So we welcome Nyambi and Brian to Groovin' Radio this Saturday morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning. All respect due to one of the most prolific artists to come out of Jamaica and the Caribbean, Peter McIntosh. It is called Equal Rights. It is also said that this song, it is so potent, it should just be the song out of Jamaica. Equal Rights.
Everyone is crying out for peace, yes. None is crying out for justice.
And I wonder why.
Everyone is crying out for peace, yes. None is crying out for justice.
Well, I don't want no peace, you know.
I don't want no peace.
Give us equal rights.
And equal rights.
And with that said, ladies before gentlemen, good morning, Miss McIntosh. Nyambi, how are you?
I'm very well. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning, Rosklyn.
As we welcome
you again.
Yes, man, definitely. As we welcome you both to Groovin' Radio this Saturday morning, 35 years after his death, Peter McIntosh, one of the artists that everyone in Jamaica should know about, and especially, yeah, those who stands up for equal rights. Let me start with his youngest child first. Nyambi, what is your father's legacy looking like these days? His memories. Talk to us about your dad.
Yes, definitely. As his youngest child, I can say that I didn't grow up with him. When he passed away, I was only five. But mm-hmm. the memories that I have from just the stories I've been told from people that love and admire him is that, you know, out of the Wailers, I've heard he was one of the most educated individuals, you know, self-taught. You know, even when we look at the song Legalize It, mm-hmm. it's a song where he's singing about the medicinal benefits long before, you know, Harvard professors are actually, you know, doing studies and validating the claims that my father made back in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at songs like Bush Doctor, where he's talking about cannabis being good for glaucoma and it will build a failing economy. Mm-hmm. The legacy stands strong. And now, you know, my mother always said that he's a man before his time. And, you know, he would say that when his music was known, it would be a new music, basically. Mm-hmm. That he already knew that his music and message would be celebrated long after his time.
I think the last time we spoke, Anthony, I think it was Nyambi and your mom, you were both on with us, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yes. You know,
wow.
Yes, when you hear people talk about Peter Tosh, your father, the man, the radical Peter Tosh, and you listen to his music, yes, some would say he was way before his time. But when you hear people talk about your dad and his music, how does that make you feel? Huh? How does that make you feel, Nyambi?
Yeah, well, I'm very humbled. You know, I'm very proud. This mm-hmm. is, you know, stepping into this responsibility to carry on his legacy
mm-hmm.
Has been very rewarding, because I didn't grow up with my dad. So every time I meet someone that has known him personally or that is inspired by his music and, you know, motivated to kind of, you know, help others through his music, I am always very, very happy. And it reminds me how important and how powerful music is, and how, you know, my job is important. You know, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. very important that we recognize the people that have come before us and their mark, because they are the creators of what, they're the foundation. You know, they're mm-hmm. the ones that have inspired and has played their part in creating what we celebrate today. So mm-hmm. I'm always very proud.
Mm. You know, when you hear about the Wailers, you generally hear about Bob Marley, you hear about Peter Tosh, you hear about Bonnie Livingston Wailer, but there was a female member of the Wailer. Her name is Beverly Kelso. As a matter of fact, she celebrated a birthday this past week. Happy belated birthday to Beverly Kelso. Knowing that there was a woman in the group, the original Wailer, and just kind of see sometime, as we're talking about your dad's legacy, how even a Beverly Kelso has been written out of the entire Wailer's legacy to a certain point, Anthony. And that is why it's so important that when someone who's directly connected to a person like a Peter Tosh, and there is access to them, and we can have them to talk about something like this morning. You mentioned the song Legalize It. Peter McIntosh was that artist in Jamaica that over and over again gave his time, his lyrics, and his music to the legalization of marijuana. And as 420 approaches, which is known as the marijuana holiday, we're now even saying that this shouldn't be a marijuana holiday. This should be an international day called Peter Tosh's Day. What do you think about that, Brian?
Russ Clem, you're absolutely right. If no one deserves it more, it's Peter Tosh. What he sacrificed while he was here, you know, this was, you know, not where corporate America, you know, was, you know, entrenched, you know, with profits and so forth. This is when, you know, it was a stigma.
Mm-hmm.
All right, to speak about,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, he foresaw so many things. You know, he's definitely, you know, a prophet when it comes to the legalization of cannabis.
Mm-hmm. The foundation, the Peter Tosh Foundation, there's also a museum. Talk to us about the foundation and the museum.
Yes, so we have, the family knew that it was very important to have literally and figuratively a strong foundation in growing my father's legacy, because his mm-hmm. music stood for, you know, equal rights and justice, point mm-hmm. blank, period. And so creating a foundation where we can continue to not only promote his music, but also be a part of change, make a part of change in society. And so the Peter Tosh Museum, I mean, the Peter Tosh Foundation has five different initiatives. We have the Peter Tosh Museum, which is opened in Kingston, Jamaica a few years back. We have the Legalize It Initiative, which is, as you mentioned before, it's all about, you know, promoting and the education, educational information around the medicinal benefits, the spiritual benefits, and the responsible use of cannabis, as well as recognizing that it's been Black and Brown people that have been grossly targeted in comparison to their white counterparts, and really trying to make a shift so that Black and Brown people can now be the ones that can benefit from the legalization movement. We also have the Equal Rights and Justice Initiative, which is about just partnering with different organizations to do community initiatives to, mm-hmm. to benefit society, as well as the Can't Blame the Youth Initiative. I'm an educator first. And so, you know, making sure that a legacy lives on mm-hmm. and is all about connecting with the next generation. So we have the Can't Blame the Youth Initiative, where we talk about my father's message and his music, but then connect it to some of the issues that young people are dealing with today. And then we also have the Justice for Jawara Initiative as well. And that's really about promoting, you know, my brother's story, who was arrested for cannabis possession and unfortunately mm-hmm. Lost his life due to the mm-hmm. harsh conditions mm-hmm. of our criminal justice system. Right. And we promote his story and mm-hmm. Make sure that we push for criminal justice reform.
Mm. I'm happy that you mentioned that you're an educator, because my next question for you is, as an educator, what you think should be taught about Peter Tosh in Jamaica, and how you think Jamaica should carry on in the memory and the legacy of Peter Tosh?
Well, I think it's very important to, you know, highlight the message in the music. There's so many things that are relevant going on globally, mm-hmm. not just in Jamaica, that can uplift young people once they have the proper education. You know, songs like mm-hmm. African, where, you know, no matter where you come from, as long as you're a Black man, you're African. So that's a song that makes a point to unite Black people. You're not from the gully side. You're not from, you know, first. You're not from yeah. Trinidad first. You're not from America first. You're mm-hmm. from Africa first. And if we recognize ourselves as Africans, we are so much stronger because right. we're united. Mm-hmm. You know, songs like Equal Rights and Justice. You know, mm-hmm. I look at the plight that exists within, you know, impoverished communities where their education system is lacking. And then you wonder why young people turn to crime, because there's no opportunities because they haven't had access to mm-hmm. proper education or proper, you know, learning different skill sets to benefit themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an injustice. Mm-hmm. But a lot of young people don't see that bigger picture. Even with legalize it, and just the benefit of or a bush doctor, the benefit of just natural living, or songs like Mystic Man, where he talks about, I don't drink no yellow, blue, green soda. How much mm-hmm. people are drinking a bigger, mm-hmm. you know, with mm-hmm. yellow number five toxins and putting it in their body every mm-hmm. single day. And mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. the power of my father's music can truly, you know, educate people to not only uplift their minds, mm-hmm. But make their bodies well and balanced.
Mm-hmm. You know, I chose here at Grooving Radio, and in the background, you're listening to it. It's a music bed from one of your father's song, Fools Die for Wants of Wisdom. And I use this mm-hmm. every day because it means so much. And when we hear and we talk about Jamaica's music, again, we hear about the Wailers, but most time, all we hear about Anthony is who?
Mm. Anthony? Bonnie, Bob, and Peter, and you know, there's a cadre of artists who formed the Wailers Band. So, you know, this interview this morning is really to re-educate people and mm-hmm. let them know more about even Peter's contribution mm-hmm. to the Wailers and to reggae.
As we talk about the legacy of Peter McIntosh, before we get into World Marijuana Day or International Marijuana Day, Anthony, your question for our guest.
Well, what I really wanted to ask, Nyambe, because, I mean, we always hear about the revolutionary Peter Tosh and that man who was a strong advocate for marijuana, but there is another side to Peter that the family, and I guess, you know, Nyambe, speaking to her mother and others who have known Peter all these years, talk to us about that other side of Peter, that very comical, jovial Peter Tosh that we don't hear about a lot. So maybe she could share a little about, you know, her thoughts.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I made a point when I took over the estate to mm-hmm. really do a job and connect with people that knew my dad personally, from like Roger Steffens, the reggae historian based in California, mm-hmm. who has countless interviews of my father, you know, Lee Jaff, my mom, just different families. I made a point to just interview them and ask them about their relationship. Band members like Santa Davis, who considers my dad a brother. You know, my father was very militant in his delivery to educate people through his music and when he was on stage. But mm-hmm. these people that knew him personally always talked about how, you know, kind my father was, how funny he was. My mother would say, you know, your father used to have me just pissing up myself with laughter, you know. The time, if you're in a room with him, you will not stop laughing, mm-hmm. you know. And so and he would give all the time, you know. He was somebody that no matter what would always share what he has, no matter who was around, and didn't care if he was around, you definitely would have some. And so, you know, I think that it's important that there's a balanced perspective to understand, you know, when he felt like his message needed to be heard, mm-hmm. you know. A lot of people only saw that militant side. Mm. But, you know, when he was off stage, he was definitely a very comical individual and very given.
You know, every time I listen to your dad's music, it gives you the feeling that this man was just there as a revolutionary for us as a people, Jamaican at large, black people around the world. His message was so powerful. And this is one of my favorite Peter Tosh songs. Take a listen, ladies and gentlemen. The voice of the legendary Peter McIntosh. It is called Fools Die for the Want of Wisdom.
The lips of the righteous teaches many.
Right.
But fools die for want of wisdom.
Yes, indeed.
The rich man's wealth is in the city.
Fixation
of a soul is
vanity. Destruction of the poor.
Destruction of the poor is their poverty. The poor man's wealth is in a holy, holy place.
You know, when you listen to a song like this, Nyambe, you think your dad was a genius?
Oh yes, definitely. He was a prophet. There's no doubt about it. You know, the level of his intellect was far beyond the average individual, and you know, a lot of that was due to his continuous practice of just consuming cannabis in a more spiritual way to elevate his mind. He's been on stage saying, you know, I don't answer to man. You know, man has countlessly demonized cannabis. And he was like, cannabis is my culture. I don't listen to men. I listen to Jah. And, you know, there's not going to be any man that could tell me otherwise, because he was smart enough to know that, you know, African people have been consuming cannabis to elevate their their mind and body long before colonization. And it was, you know, our colonizers that made a point to use it to demonize it, really, to target Black people and Mexicans, because that's why they called it marijuana. Marijuana is a name that's made up. You know, that's, that all that dark history to prohibition is something that my father was very, very much aware of, and made a point to educate people with a struggle. It didn't come easy.
Brian, after all you have heard about Peter McIntosh, before you became a part of the foundation, before you joined the foundation, hearing about this radical man, Peter Tosh, hearing about, you know, how many times Peter Tosh was beaten and arrested for marijuana, what really attracted you to be, to join the foundation, Brian? Because, you know, folks would be running away from that, but you ran into it. What attracted you to the foundation?
First, Ross Clem, I want to say I'm very humble to be a part of this experience. Definitely, you know, it's earth-shaking just in terms of, you know, how we connect. I've always been, you know, since the 80s, you know, in the hip-hop industry. And, you know, when I was approached, you know, to represent, you know, from the standpoint of the music business, if you would, you know, I was very humbled. You know, and Niambi, the passion that she delivers for, you know, her brothers and sisters and the rest of the family, you know, is definitely something that, you know, I took notice of. So now I feel connected to the family, you know. Akata McIntosh, that's Peter's granddaughter, you know, what she does, you know, to make sure and commensurate everything that, you know, Peter has projected through his legacy is incredible. You know, and one thing about the difference, you know, in terms of my capacity, you know, Niambi's the captain of the ship. It's just that I know some of the waters that, you know, she is going to have to navigate. You know what I'm saying? Where the rocks are, where the deep waters are, where the shallow waters are. And, you know, it's definitely a connection that I'm very, very grateful for.
Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest is direct lineage to the legendary Peter McIntosh, his youngest child, Niambi McIntosh. She has joined us this morning to talk about her dad's legacy, and from the foundation, executive Brian Latour, he's also a part of the conversation. You know, Anthony Turner, you know, we hear about the work and the body of work that Peter Tosh has left us. Do you think we have actually tipped the scale yet, starting to tip the scale of who Peter McIntosh really was?
Well, I think, you know, this is part of the journey and part of the re-education, as I said before. And we have to engage people who knew the man, knew his music, his personality. And, you know, what we're doing this morning is, you know, helping to educate people, and we can only continue to do stuff like this. I mean, I was fortunate to have seen Peter perform first at the One Love concert, which was the very first concert I went to in 1978, and I saw Peter perform in Bluefields by KD's on a few occasions. So I've actually had the opportunity to see him and meet him and all of that. And there's just so much to Peter. And when you talk about the music, the lyrical content, I mean, when you analyze, I mean, we probably would need to bring even a man like a Colin Channel to break down some of these lyrics, because a lot of times we only listen to the chorus and the punchline, but there's a hell of a lot more to the lyrics.
Definitely. When we come back after this musical break and the top of the hour break, we will continue our conversation with Niambi McIntosh and Brian Latour as we continue to talk about the upcoming, yes, marijuana holiday. Yes, man. And the legacy of Peter Tosh.
Don't criticize it.
Don't at all.
Legalize it, yeah.
And I, man, will advertise it.
And I will advertise it.
That's right.
Some call it time.
Rastafari.
Some call it
And let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, that the thing you know as cannabis, ganja, marijuana, herb, it is for the healing of the nation. Make no mistake about it. When we forward, we will continue.
Don't criticize it. Legalize it, yeah, yeah. And I will advertise it. Yah created the heaven and the earth. Then he created man of his own likeness. He gave unto man wisdom, knowledge, understanding.
That's right.
Is my hill and my strength, so shall I
feel.
He's a shield upon my right and my left hand, so shall I be afraid.
Jah is my king.
Jah is my king.
Indeed,
Rastafari.
Jah is my light and my salvation. So whom shall I fear?
The work of the one and only Peter McIntosh, ladies and gentlemen. And as we return to the final 23 minutes of our Grooving Radio's presentation this morning, we are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. The legacy of Peter Tosh, his foundation, and as April 4th, 420 approaches World Marijuana Day, it should just be named the Peter Tosh Day. Joining us this morning is his youngest child, his youngest daughter, Nyambi McIntosh, and from the foundation, Brian Latour. Welcome back, lady. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you.
When you hear a song like Creation, which is now in the hymnal, and this is a final music question. When you hear a song like Creation by your dad, Peter McIntosh, that is now embedded in the hymnals in Jamaica. Talk to me a bit about this one, Nyambi.
It's a song that definitely moved me from a very, very long time. I used to actually be a DJ. And my sound name was Steppin' Razor. And when we would start our set, Creation was how we would start our set. We said we had to bless up the place, you know, before we get started. And so Creation, to see that Creation is and him and...
Yeah.
My father always said, how can people be so quick to sing about, baby, I love you and all of this thing, all of this music about love, but they can't find it in themselves to sing about the creator, the person who created the sun, the moon, and the stars, the spirit. And so Creation is a song that speaks to just his appreciation of the Almighty, and that we have to, as people, continue to do that in our music, because music is power, word, sound, and power.
Anthony, the last time we talked to Nyambi, she told us that she was an educator, and today we learned that she was a DJ, which is good.
Oh,
Yes, 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 which is good. Now, it leads us now, Anthony, which I'm going to turn it over to you again. It leads us now to the big day that is coming up on 420. First, before your question, your thoughts about that day, Anthony?
Well, I think International Peter Tosh Day is really the only name it can be called. I mean, yes, Peter is the biggest marijuana advocate that I know, not only in Jamaica, here in the U.S. and globally. So it's really it's about his day and recognizing him. And y'all already asked Brian to talk about it. So I'd really love to hear Nyambe's perspective on the Peter Tosh International Day and what it's going to look like for 420 this year.
Definitely. So International Peter Tosh Day was an idea that I had just a few years back. I had the privilege of being born in Jamaica, but growing up in the States. And so 420 has never really been something that Jamaican people recognize, but, the privilege of growing up in the States, I was aware of how this day began to grow in popularity, especially around the trend in legalization as each state started to legalize cannabis. And so it made no sense to me. For one, it was just called 420. I was like, how can this random day just be called 420? There's no way that this day can exist and not recognize the role that my father played in even making it a possibility. You know, I've spoken and met with so many advocates who have said that it was my father's music who kept them alive and kept them going when they were pushing for legalization, back in the 70s and in the 80s. And you know, even still today, we still don't have full cannabis legalization in Jamaica. And so that day, International Peter Tosh Day, is definitely a day where we celebrate his legacy and also celebrate the advocates that continue to push for legalization across the globe.
So tell us about what 420 will look like this year. I know there's a big event happening in Miami, in Florida. So tell us what will happen on that day. And for folks who, like myself, who won't be in Florida, I mean, how can we participate and be a part of the celebration?
Yeah, so this year will be our first International Peter Tosh Day celebration that's in person. We've always had virtual celebrations. And so we are hosting, the Peter Tosh Foundation is actually hosting an in-person celebration and fundraiser at the Anderson, Miami, a beautiful venue with indoor and outdoor space. We have the Resolvers Band playing. We have Culture Shock. Lancel from Culture Shock Music. We're going to have Naya Bingi drummers. We're working on a chalice bar so that people could understand the Rastafari culture and the Rasta, the Rastafari culture as part of 420, because, you know, it was Rastas who recognized the importance of cannabis many, many years, you know, since the 1930s, that, you know, they started to educate people about the benefits. And so that part was very, very important as well. And then we also have Walshi Fire, almost forgot to mention, who will be also a DJ at the event. So it's going to be a wonderful celebration incorporating, as a word I like to say, is edutainment. You know, lots of music and uplifting spirits and just, you know, education as well. Bringing the culture to the day that needs to be a part of the day. There's no way you can talk cannabis without Rastafari culture and Peter Tosh.
And then the Naya Bingi drumming. Talk to us about that, because that is a part of the celebration and why you chose to integrate that into this first Peter Tosh International Day.
Definitely. You know, Naya Bingi drumming is very, very much a part of the spiritual practices when it comes to Rasta culture and consuming cannabis, as well as, you know, recognizing that the drums are the heartbeat. You know, there's a spiritual connection and a physiological connection between having the Naya Bingi drummers present and having many people that have not experienced that, you know, that aspect of Rastafari culture to see and celebrate this aspect that was very, very important.
Mm-hmm. You know, as I listen to you, Nyambi, and we talk about Jamaica, and I have this question now for Brian. I mean, how can we get Jamaica to understand the importance of a person such as Peter Tosh, his work, and his advocacy for the legalization of marijuana? It was only last week I was talking to an investigative journalist out of Jamaica, Anthony, Zara Burton, and she actually also got the interview we did with Mark Golin, and she called me to ask me about a question we posed to Mark Golin about bauxite mining. And she says, what would you do if you stop bauxite mining? And I said, first and foremost, look at the legalization of marijuana taking place around the world. I would personally use every avenues to get every money that we can make out of marijuana. So, Brian, how can we get Jamaica to understand that this is a very thriving industry, that we no longer have to pollute Jamaica? And look at hemp and what hemp paper, you can use hemp to make even paper. How can we get them to understand this, Brian?
Well, one recommendation I would make is not to lose control of the narrative. You know, in terms of commodities are concerned, you know, cannabis is equally as important as sugar, if you look at it. And if you look at the historical aspect of how that went down, you just don't want to let it go, and you don't want people coming in to Jamaica to control that narrative. You know, it's a product that, you know, Jamaica is known for. And, you know, it should be supported and uplifted, you know, instead of criticized. And those that, you know, tend to criticize should do a little more research. And, you know, that's one of the goals of the foundation, to provide that backstory, you know, so that, you know, people just aren't misguided.
How is the foundation being received in Jamaica? Oftentimes we, you know, again, and not to compare, but we hear about the Marley Foundation. We see a lot about the Marley Foundation. How is the Peter Tosh Foundation and Museum? How is it being received in Jamaica, Brian?
Well, the museum is definitely, you know, widely received. Mm-hmm. You know, because of the pandemic, we had to, you know, we had to make some provisions, clothes and so forth, but you know, we get a lot of support, you know, from Jamaica, you know, pertaining to the museum. I'd like to see more, you know, to be quite honest with you, but you know, initially when we first opened the doors in 2016, you know, it was definitely something to talk about. What we want to do, mm-hmm, is make sure that this legacy carries on, mm-hmm, you know, not just for those in earshot of this interview, but for those that, you know, aren't even here yet, because this music is going to live. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is a great way to, you know, to see it virtually.
You know, you mentioned that when the museum was opened in 2016, you know, there's a lot of talk about it. We have talked a lot, you know. We love to talk, and, you know, sometimes we have to just put the talking aside, and we need to have some actions. Because if you look at those who have benefited from our music, if you look at those who have benefited from our culture, if you look at those who have benefited from the legalization of cannabis, why isn't we, yeah? Why it's not us who are at the forefront of even this when they talk about 420? Did they even consider the folks who came up with this whole idea about this 420 day? Did they even bother to consider contacting a family such of as the Peter Tosh family? When you look at what Peter Tosh has done, when you look at how much he has given to the legalization of marijuana, did they ever really consider reaching out?
Is that a rhetorical question? Or
yes, it's a question for any one of you guys.
Yeah, you know, I think that 420 has been a day that just grew culturally. From my recollection, it started in the college scene, and mm-hmm, it's just something that people continuously celebrated. So there really wasn't a they, per se, that could, you know, reach out as the trend started to grow. But definitely now, as corporate America makes a point to monetize that type of celebration, there are people that reach out, you know, to the brand and to the legacy. One of the things that's very important to me is that no matter who we partner with, is that the legacy remains in control. The family remains in control of how the intellectual property is used, and the family is the one that benefits the most because of the sacrifice that my father made. You know, he sacrificed long before this time and didn't get the reward that he deserved. And so in my capacity in running his estate, you know, many people can go to petertosh.com to learn a little bit more about the history, but I'm here to make sure that the control remains within the family as this industry grows and we become a part of, you know, a staple. You know, International Peter Tosh Day isn't going anywhere. It's been growing. We were trending back when, you know, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Just talking about Bernie Mac, that's why he came up, but bless his soul. back when, you know, back in election time, we have participation in places like Zambia and all over the world, Australia, for International Peter Tosh Day. So it's continuing to grow. For me, it's no longer 420. And for many people across the world, it is no longer just 420.
Right.
It is now International Peter Tosh Day. It's not trying to be. It's not going to be. It is.
Right. And just like how we have International Reggae Day, final question for you, Nyambi. I know we all remember your dad in our own different ways. But how would you like us, how would you like Jamaica and the world to remember your father? How would you like that? How would you like them to remember your dad, you know?
Yeah, I would like them to remember him as a multifaceted individual, a freedom fighter, a musical genius, being able to play over 20 plus instruments and being the person responsible for teaching Bob Marley how to play the guitar, you know, but also a very jovial and witty and given individual. You know, I think that most of us throughout history, we're always portrayed in one light. But most humans have many, many sides to them. You know, my father has, I'm the youngest of 10 children. And so we all have just different types of relationships with him. But it's very important that we recognize him. And even Jamaica has, you know, he's been recognized, given the Order of Merit from Jamaica. Because of that global contribution to society, he has it's not just a Jamaican icon. He has fans all over the globe. We have participation with International Peter Tosh Day even in Japan this year, you know. I have some and I see like Japanese text on the flyer, so it's his message has transcended through time, it has transcended through language barriers, and it just continues to grow. You know, any Peter Tosh fan listening right now, I would say just share a Tosh story, share a Tosh song with somebody that you love, because that's how the legacy grows.
Well, the body of work that Peter Tosh has given us, that we can continue to enjoy, it will never die. His music will never, ever die. And, you know, I just hope that Jamaica would understand this and would understand more and more what an individual such as Peter Tosh means to us and means to the country. And his work with the legalization of marijuana, long before anyone else would have called for the legalization of marijuana. We're happy to be a part of this conversation this morning, Nyambi McIntosh and Brian Latour, as you guys continue to keep the legacy of Peter McIntosh alive through his foundation and through his museum. Thank you both so very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Can I just say one more thing to just make sure we
yes.
give people some direction? If you're listening and if you want to attend the International Peter Tosh Day celebration, please visit petertosh.com. For your listeners, we have a special promo code that can be used. It's mm-hmm. Tosh420, and that will give you a 25% discount. And if you aren't in the area, you can also support the movement, support
yes.
the foundation,
yes.
and you can purchase a There in mm-hmm. Spirit ticket yeah. for International Peter Tosh Day celebration. So visit petertosh.com, use the promo code Tosh420, purchase a ticket, or just donate. This is a movement, and we as Black people have to definitely continue to
yes.
to you know, support our own first.
Definitely.
That is how we build Black wealth. That is how we build unity. And that's how we grow as a people.
Definitely. Nyambi McIntosh, the youngest child of Peter Tosh's children of 10, and Brian Latour. Thank you both very much for joining us this morning. Again, it's what, your second or third time joining us here on Groovin Radio. And definitely, you will come back again. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
No problem. Take care, Brian. Take care, Nyambi.